Hey, welcome to Intentional Living today. Got a question for you. If you're married, have you ever said yes to your spouse when underneath you were really wanting to say no? Or maybe the other way around, you said no when you kind of were wanting to say yes. Being intentional about those two words, yes and no, can make a huge difference in your marriage. Hi, I'm Dr. Randy Carlson. This is Intentional Living. Today, we're talking about marriage, having an intentional marriage, and also a little bit about the power of yes and no. Those words are very powerful if used correctly. And we're taking your calls as well on our comment line at 888-888-1717. That's 888-888-1717. By the way, this month of November, the teaching for members is detailing that topic of the power of yes and no. Two very powerful words. Because here's danger. There's a danger in saying yes when you really mean no. There's also a danger in saying no when you really mean yes. And it can create a problem. You say, well, yeah, that does happen, doesn't it? It can happen in marriage. Okay, let's go ahead to our first caller. Alicia's on the line in Arizona. So go right ahead, Alicia. What's your question?
My husband lost his job a few months ago, and I picked up three. And I'm stressed out, and he's stressed out because he's watching the kids all the time. This week, I found out he actually gambled a bit of money away trying to hope for a lucky streak. And I see the problems here, and I can't figure out to find the solution between my kids and my family.
Well, I'm wondering, Alicia, are you and your husband on the same page? Are you in a full agreement? Do you have a plan? Are you working it together? Or it sounds like maybe you're kind of both trying to work through this individually in your own way. Him with his ideas and you with yours?
Well, he's been trying to look for a job, as he told me, and he doesn't want me to work these hours, but we have to get income. I don't know what else to do. I mean, I try to put things for all perspectives. I don't see he's mine all the time.
Did you have warning signs before? I mean, you've always been living on the edge financially?
Not necessarily. He had talked about leaving his job multiple times, but that didn't happen. He ended up just walking out of impulse.
Oh, he left his job?
Mm-hmm. In impulse, he did.
Oh, all right. How'd you feel about that?
I mean, I found out and I talked to him about it. I tried not to get really upset because he said, you know, he didn't know how to talk to me about it because he knew I was stressed out. It feels like it's getting worse, and I'm trying to trust the Lord and see the path, but it's just so hard to see.
Well, you know, Alicia, I hear you, and we feel for you and for your husband, because I know it's painful for both of you, but I think of a passage in Scripture that says a double-minded person is unstable in everything. One of the things that we're so passionate about at Intentional Living, Alicia, is helping people declare their intentions. There's something powerful when we say, hey, I'm done with this. This is what my one thing. Here's what I'm going to focus on. Because you said, you know, he walked out of a job, or he wanted to walk out of a job. And I think you used the word impulse even. He was impulsive. Impulsivity is a fun thing maybe when you're doing something fun, but it can be a dangerous thing when you're doing things that are important. And so it's important for you and your husband to sit down, and I know it sounds like it's difficult to do, but you're going to have to grab hold of each other and say, this isn't working. I mean, he doesn't want you to work, but then you have to work, and he left a job, and there's impulsivity and gambling, I even heard. Boy, I wonder about that with this $1.6 billion a couple weeks, two, 3 weeks ago in the lottery. And I heard one place they said one state said they were selling, I don't know what it was, like 20,000 a minute or something in lottery tickets. I've even heard it said it's a tax for the poor. And I think, boy, that's probably trying to get rich quick, you know. Of course, the Scripture says a lot about that. But for you, Alicia, specifically, I feel for you. You got to do what you got to do. You got to work, got to provide for your family. But you and your husband have to sit down together with, I would recommend, a counselor or a financial counselor at least, and just put the proverbial cards face up on the table. This isn't working. Impulsivity is dangerous in marriage. Impulsivity is dangerous in important relationships. You got to have a plan, a goal, and move in that direction. We'll be praying for you, Alicia. Appreciate your call. Let's go to Doris, who's on the line in Kansas today. with a question. Doris, welcome to the program. Go ahead.
Yes, I was calling. I was needing some information or answer to when your spouse has dementia, but was always a kind of a controlling person. And now with dementia, is still trying to have that controlling factor.
Yeah, but it's getting worse.
It's getting worse, and on top of that, it's being mean.
Mm-hmm. And as you know, I'm sure, as a doctor talked to you about, the physician talked to you about the fact that that happens sometimes with dementia?
Yes.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting. People that we know, and even our own family, when we've seen people who have Alzheimer's and we see their personalities radically change, it's upsetting. And there's a point where we have to put away the old. In other words, we have to be willing to say that's not the same person as before, and I can't treat them the same way as I did before. I may have to be more assertive in terms of setting some boundaries and getting some help and doing some things. And I'm wondering, are you comfortable, you know, talking to a physician and getting some resources to help you with this?
Yes.
How is your husband and the spectrum? Is he able to remember things? Can you communicate, or how advanced is this?
It's advanced to the point of remembering all of the old stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But can't remember anything in the present.
Mm, so what do you do when he gets, that'd be very frustrating. What do you do when he gets mean?
I usually walk away or try to calm him down, but sometimes I'm able to and sometimes I'm not.
Yeah.
It's just whatever day it is and what the situation is and how do I handle this. But when it gets too combative, I usually just walk away.
Do you have children in the area?
Mm-hmm.
Are they helping you? Do you have help and give you
yes.
a break?
Yeah. Yes.
Have you talked to the physician about resources as this advances, what kind of resources you're going to need to help?
I have, and I guess I was trying to find out a Christian aspect of this. How do you deal with this in a Christian manner?
Well, what's difficult, that's a good question, Doris, and God love you. The increase that we're seeing in dementia, in the form, especially Alzheimer's, is increasing substantially as we have an aging population. We've been through this in our own family, so we've seen it up close. And there's thousands probably listening who have been through it or going through it now. Every situation is different. Some people, when they get into Alzheimer's, become mean and some don't. Some withdraw and some, you know, lash out. So every person is different. But because of the awareness of this, more so now than in years past, there are resources available in the community that I would really seek out. Day programs, respites, other kinds of resources that you could find in your area in Kansas. And I would start with my physician or start with a support group in your community. And you can find those probably online and just start the research and find them. But your question was about, as a Christian, you know, how do you deal with this? You know, you made, and God love you. I mean, you made a commitment to your husband. You love him and you want the best for him. There are a lot of people who just bail out to say, I'm done, and walk. The fact that you're saying, hey, I'm going to stand here. I'm going to make my commitment and I'm going to be intentional. God love you for it. At the same time, you can't do it all. In fact, one of the most Christian loving things you can do is to get help for him so you can have help for yourself. It's like the oxygen mask in the airplane. They tell you to put yours on first before you put it on your child. Is that an unloving thing to do? No. They know when you got the oxygen, then you can take care of your child. And so if you don't take care of yourself, Doris, your husband certainly going to be incapable of taking care of you or himself. And so don't feel guilty. It's not a non-Christian thing for you to take care of yourself, to make sure that you're strong, you're getting a break, that you have resources so you can take care of your husband to the extent that you can. There may be a time you can't, and you may have to go into a facility. But it is not on Christian to understand the fact that he's not the same person today as he was before. And as the time progresses, even less so. There's a point you'll get to where you'll recognize that you are simply the caregiver and you know, the relationship you once had, even though it wasn't maybe as strong as you wanted it to be, will be gone. And so the fact that you're standing strong intentionally, I celebrate with you and applaud the fact you're doing that.
Well, when it, for a while, I tried to have the compassion that I wanted him to have toward me in our marriage, but sometimes that doesn't even work either. And
for you, you mean? You mean your compassion for him?
Right.
Yeah. You get frustrated.
Very.
Yeah. That's understandable. And does that sometimes make you think you're not being a good Christian?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that isn't the way I assess it. I don't think God is sitting in heaven saying, oh, there she goes again. Doris being mean to that old guy. I don't think that's it, Doris. God understands. I mean, we all have our limits. That's why I'm saying you got to take care of yourself. You got to make sure some energy into your life and you're refilling your tank and taking care of yourself. Because if you don't, what's going to happen is then you'll collapse and you don't want to do that. So I think that's a warning sign. Hey, if I'm getting too frustrated and pushing back too much, maybe I need to take a break. So I would encourage you to get some resources for yourself. That's not being an un-Christian. The fact that you called here and asked for help is evidence that you want the best for him. God bless you. We'll be praying for you. And for every person, every one of you listening today, and you've got a parent or a spouse or someone you love with Alzheimer's or another form of dementia, God love you. It certainly is a challenge in our culture today. God love you. All right, today we're talking about marriage. You know, we talked at the beginning about saying yes or no. And even in these, there's points where, listen, when you're raising a child, you have to say yes and sometimes say no. And if you're taking care of a spouse and they have, let's say, Alzheimer's, there's times you got to say no because it's really like almost a parent-child relationship. There's power. Don't say yes when you mean no, and don't say no when you mean yes. All right, more on that topic coming up here. We're talking marriage today. You're welcome to join in with your comments, 888-888-1717.
You're listening to Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Intentional Living is furnished by Parent Talk Incorporated and is made possible by the generous support of listeners just like you. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio. We are Intentional Living, and we'll be right back.
It's a statement, simple yet meaningful. It's a powerful reminder that you have purpose and direction. While the millions of other fish are heading into the net, you're living free and living intentionally. It's your stake in the ground. You refuse to live the lie and will now celebrate the truth. It's two simple words that declare you're pursuing the one thing today that will change your world tomorrow. It's the Intentional Living wristband, and it simply says one thing. To purchase, go to theintentionallife.com.
Why do so many of us live in this valley of indecision in our life instead of saying yes or no to the issues of life? Anything from the small things of what I'm going to eat next to the big decisions of who am I going to marry. And I thought of five things. First of all, the fear to be wrong. Many people just fear being wrong. I don't want to be wrong. And so people who are indecisive are often people who just fear being wrong. If I'm wrong, I can't deal with making the wrong choice. Boy, is that true? You know, these fears that I talk about in the teaching this month on the power of yes and no. That first one is the fear of being wrong. One of the reasons I say yes when I mean no or vice versa is I don't want to be wrong. And sometimes we are wrong. And so I just want to say to all members, I hope as the teaching comes your way here in the days ahead that you'll be encouraged by it. I'd love your feedback. I always love hearing from you. Maybe you can call in if you have a question. And if you're not a member today, hey, listen, you'd like to be a part of this team of Intentional Living and help support this listener-supported ministry with an ongoing monthly gift of any amount, we'll make sure that you receive that teaching and an ongoing teaching each and every month from us to you. This month, the power of yes or no. And by the way, When you become a new member or if you share a generous single gift today, we're going to also send to you Made to Thrive at Christmas, a book for the holidays. It'll be very intentional, encouraging for you. There's no minimum monthly gift to become a member, but our most popular giving level comes in right at about $1 a day, $30 a month, something to pray about. So call during West Coast business hours if you want to talk to one staff member, 888-888-1717, 888-888-1717, or you can go online to theintentionallife.com, theintentionallife.com, and click donate. Fair enough? Great. James is on the line in Arizona. Welcome to the program, James. Go right ahead.
Thank you, Dr. Randy. Thank you for having me today. Today is my wife and I's 10-year anniversary.
Well, congratulations. That's great.
It's awesome. But let me tell you, and my heart goes out to everybody out there. We're always praying for everyone else before us. And so our prayers go out to Doris and everybody.
Mm.
We pretty much every day, we start our day, we sit out, we're in Scottsdale, so we sit out in front of Camelback, get our coffee, open our Bible, and this is two people, married people, and we pray, we read the Word. Then my wife will say the prayer, then I'll say the prayer, and every day we switch off. And that is why we have 10 years today.
Have you been doing that for all these 10 years?
You know, we have. When her and I met, she is a flight attendant for Southwest for 25 years, and I'm a successful local drummer, and I've played many of the churches here. And our lives are just a whirlwind of joy and goodness.
Wow. But, you know, you do that intentionally, though, don't you, James? I mean, this didn't happen by accident.
No, you know what? We live our lives every day. We say, Lord, we surrender our lives to you today. We surrender our will right now. Because if we do that, he guides our every day.
Hmm.
Yes, we've had some medical issues in both of our lives, and some tough times and trials like we all will face. This life is temporary, you know, and we're looking at the big picture with this. And we stick to a scripture that says in Psalms 147, great, all we have to know is this, Randy. Great is our Lord and mighty in power, and his understanding has no limit.
Mm.
And that's what we live by every day. We all have bumps and bruises. But I'm blessed to have a wife that will read the Word every day with me and pray with me every day. And we help others. And when we're on the airplanes or touring the country or playing shows or whatever, we're reading the Bible first, praying second, and helping another human being third. And I'm telling you, there's no better anchor than knowing who Christ really is. He Amen. Is our power. He is great. He is mighty. And he has no limit to doing anything for us that we ask in Jesus' name.
Amen. You know, James, you are an example. I mean, a poster couple for intentional living. Simple, doing the next right one thing, not complicated. Did you hear it? You do this, this, and this. I think we overcomplicate things. And to do that, they declutter their lives. Can't you picture them outside on the balcony in Scottsdale, Arizona, beautiful Scottsdale, looking up into the Camelback Mountains? Maybe that's not where you live, right? But whatever you look at, it doesn't make any difference. No matter what the weather is, it's who you are as a couple and the decisions you make. Certainly, that's intentional living. James, thank you, man. You've brightened our day. Thank you for the encouragement.
Dr. Randy, we love your show, and God has blessed you with a mighty ministry, and you're helping millions. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, my friend. All right. I see him on the balcony right now, patio, watching the Camelback Mountains. What are they? Been in Scottsdale, beautiful place, by the way. Some beautiful mountains and scenery, for sure. Today we're talking marriage. And you know, the teaching this month is on power of yes or no. And I can tell you right now, James and his wife had to say yes to the right things, the things that were next in line, the things that mattered. And in the process, they said no to other things. It's really another form of declutter your life. We talked about that last month. It's really another form of doing that. All right, let's go to Jennifer in Georgia with a marriage question. Go right ahead, Jennifer.
Well, In my relationships, especially with my spouse, I would like to change me appreciating him more instead of looking at everything that he does and then I wish he would change.
Do you find then you get an attitude problem?
Yes, I'm very critical and I have a control issue where I always feel like I have to be in control because when I'm not in control, I feel like things are going to go bad.
Mm-hmm.
And it creates a lot of problems in my marriage.
So it's control because if you don't control, you think things are going to turn south and you're responsible for everything.
Correct. When I was younger, there was a lot of things that happened in my life that I had no control over at the time.
Mm.
And I think I developed this attitude that if I'm not in control, bad things happen.
Yeah. Well, what's it like when you decide not to control?
It gives me a lot of anxiety,
mm-hmm.
and it's very scary. But, I mean, in the end, the bad thing I'm thinking about doesn't happen.
Yeah, exactly.
So it's just a pattern of me just keep doing it and keep doing it, and eventually it's going to get easier for me.
You know, and let me share a verse with you that I think will be encouraging to you, Jennifer. It's in 1 Peter 5:7, where Peter says, cast all your care on him. And that's a very intentional thing to do. And it's not easy for us, some of us. Some of us are pretty high control people. That's why I was smiling as you were sharing, because I'm kind of a high. I like to know what's going on, be in control of things. And I think I relate to a lot of people who do. But taking what we sometimes take on too much control, too much that we think we can control, and take those things and cast them on the Lord. Cast, that means to really literally let them go, which is not an easy thing to do, but it's a powerful thing to do. It's the right thing to do. All right, Terry is in Arizona, wants to share how she's being intentional in her marriage. Go ahead, Terry.
I've been married twice. My first husband was very abusive, and I hid things from him all the time, and I always felt bad because it was taught to never lie. So when I remarried, I said, I'm not going to lie to my husband. I've tried to do it a couple of times, but because I've prayed about it and told God that I really don't want to live that way, I take everything to my husband, and I would rather deal with whatever the repercussion is then, and we can sit and talk about it and get it over with, and then you can go on, and you don't have a sick feeling. You don't feel like you've let God down. You don't feel like you've let yourself down. So whatever the person's dealing with, it's good just to deal with it and pray about it first so you know how you want to say it. But I pray every day, and then it's made our marriage such a much stronger marriage.
Good for you. Thank you for sharing that today. We've been talking about yes and no, and every call that we get, there's a point where you have to say yes to the right thing. You have to come to that decision. There's a point where you have to say no to other things. And in the teaching this month, I talk about the five fears of why it's hard for us to say no when we mean yes, or to say yes when we really mean no. And in addition to the fear of being wrong, there's a fear of loss. Maybe you're a person who says, if I make the wrong decision, I'm losing something. That's why we collect stuff. That's why we hang on to things. That's why we clutter our lives, because we have a fear of loss. Boy, what if I make a mistake? Am I going to lose respect, or am I going to lose a position of control, or will I lose my spouse? Which leads to another fear, which is the fear of missing out. Some way or other, if I say no when I really need to, you know, I say no when I need to say yes, then there's that, well, am I going to miss out? But more so, if you say yes when you really mean no, there's that fear, oh, I'm going to fear missing out. So I do things and then later say I really shouldn't have. It's more impulsivity. There's also the fear of not knowing enough. Some of us fear that if we don't know everything, I won't make a decision. I can't say yes or no until I know all the answers. And we tell people that, yeah, you need to pray about it. You need to seek good counsel. The Bible says that. But there's a point where you have to make a decision to say yes or no. And when you get about 75 or 80% of the information that you're ever going to get, then sometimes you have to just say yes or no. And then there's the fear of looking foolish. I don't want to be looking foolish to people. So we hide out in our nose when we really should be saying yes. Today, we're trying to make sense of all this in terms of marriage. I don't know if we have time. Do we have time for a call? Let me see if is Tandra in Michigan has a question. Go right ahead, Tandra.
Hi, my husband and I, we have four children, two boys, ages 25 and 22. Our girls are 18 and soon to be 16. My husband's a stepfather to my older two boys, and we often have conflict when it comes to the oldest son. He's a new dad. He's always asking for help, and he's not really following God. He's having a hard time with work, finding and keeping a job, constantly asking for help, and I tend to want to give him that help, and my husband doesn't. He wants him to kind of do that on his own, which I believe he does need to do that on his own, but as a mom, I want to give him that help. So my husband and I do have quite a bit of conflict over that. So if you have any suggestions on a way my husband and I can kind of deal with that together, that would be wonderful.
Okay. Hey, Tondra, I'm kind of in your husband's camp. Sorry. But I heard you say, I kind of want to, you know. In other words, you even know. I mean, you know down deep you're not helping your what, 40-year-old son, no, 25-year-old son, who keep asking for help, being irresponsible at work and so on. But then you say, well, but I'm a mom. And we all hear your heart. Every mom, Sally's in there, you hear it, right? You're a mom, and moms have a heart for their kids. But your dad, a stepdad, who's saying, you know, maybe we're weakening him. We're taking away his ability to make a good decision, follow through, and be accountable. Here's what I would do. I would set some limits, but you and your husband need to sit down together and come to an agreement, because I think you both probably can, because I think you kind of wanna, as you put it, kind of wanna, and to do that, and then be clear with your son. Honey, we love you. We know you're going through a tough time. Here's what we're willing to do, and here's what we're not willing to do. And whatever the agreement is, there's no perfect answer, but an agreement of what the limits are going to be. It may be we'll help you for 2 months till you get on your feet, or maybe that we can take the kids while you search for a new job, or whatever it is. But you come to an agreement, you and your husband, during the quiet moments when you're not right in the middle of the battle with the kids, and then stand together. That is so important. To be intentional requires standing together in agreement. I'd love to hear what you all think about some of this today. Been kind of an interesting day here at Intentional Living. You can call us and share your comments at 888-888-1717. To everyone today, we're talking marriage. Can I challenge you to think about one thing you could do today that would make a difference in your marriage, and then do that one thing? We'll see you next time right here from Intentional Living.